summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to wild mountain thyme, all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go?
Hello, welcome into episode 81 of Caden's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and today I've got a crafting Chamber of Commerce yarning section with Ribbles Crafts, a What's a Crack section, the Handmade in the UK Tin Can Knits winner, the Swap section, the Me section as ever, a Dram segment with a 12-year-old Glen Kinchy, and we've got the Shoppy segment. I sponsor this for my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast, so please get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week. Now, firstly, I thought I'd like to welcome back in the music of Mark Gunn's Wild Mountain Thyme, because the summertime is a-coming. We've had more house martins and more swallows back for quite a while now, and they've started to nest, and I know they've got babies in the one above my back door because they're tweeting like mad just now. It's lovely. I just thought it'd be nice to hear that again. So, welcome back, Mark. Crafting Chamber of Commerce yarning section. I'm really delighted to have an interview now with the lovely Helen of Ripples Crafts. Question one, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, i.e. yourself and your business? She said, hello, my name is Helen Lockhart and I run a yarn dyeing business called Ripples Crafts. I hand dye a range of yarn bases ranging from a very, very fine silk, which is ideal for fine weaving, to pure Shetland yarn spun at a mill on Shetland, through 4-ply and sock yarn up to a sport weight yarn and Aran weight yarn. Question 2. Can you describe where you live? And she said, question 2. I'm exceptionally fortunate to live in what I think is one of the most beautiful parts of the world, but I am biased. I live in the parish of Assent, which is located in Sutherland, Scotland, in the very, very far northwest of Scottish Highlands. The area around where I live is all crofting land, and while I don't own a croft myself, our wee house is surrounded by sheep and livestock. From our house, you look in one direction, you'll see the sea, and we look straight across the Minch to the Stornoway and the island of Lewis. If you look the other direction, you look straight to the hills and the mountains around Assent. A short walk from the house takes you to a beautiful deep blue loch, and in the summer the hills are covered in heather. The colours in the landscape seem to change all the time, and they give me an abundance of inspiration for the colours that I use in my yarns. As each year moves through the seasons, the colours change constantly, offering me more inspiration. Isn't that lovely? Because where she lives is stupendously beautiful. When you think of your picture postcard of Scottish Highlands, pretty much that's what you're thinking of. Question 3. Can you tell the listeners about starting your business? She said, before we moved to Assent, I worked for a pharmaceutical company, but I took voluntary redundancy. This gave me the opportunity to start learning to dye yarn. I've been a knitter for most of my life and I had been using hand-dyed yarns for a few years, and I loved the variation found in hand-dyed yarns. I quickly built up a range of basic colours. Initially I sold for my blog, but as the yarns became more and more popular, I built up the range of bases on offer as well as the range of colours. Question 4, I asked, what's the most difficult part of the business for you? And she said, because I asked, is it the admin, the posting, the getting of the supplies, or the inspiration, which I don't think she's going to choose. Question 4, she said, the most difficult part of the business for me is the paperwork. I find it so uncreative and boring, but it's an essential part of running a business and I simply have to knuckle down and do it. Yes, I feel your pain. Deciding on what yarns to stock is a difficult aspect, but not an unpleasant one. I'm always on the lookout for different and interesting yarn bases, and if they come from the UK, so much the better. Question 5. What do you like best about your business? She said, there are probably two best bits about my business. One is the dyeing, obviously. While it is a serious business, it's also fun. It is creative and I love, love, love it. And the last love is in capital letters. I'm never happier than when I head out to my workshop in the morning, knowing that a day of dying lies ahead of me. The second part, best part of my business are my customers. They are just lovely. They generously share their finished objects with me, and that always spurs me on to try new and different colourways. Question 6. Do you like doing the yarn festivals and shows? And she said, question 6. I love doing shows. It gives me the opportunity to talk to my customers, and they're always ready to tell me what they do and don't like, which is great. As I said in question 5 above, I get such a thrill seeing items that have been made using my yarn. I don't see them as a means to an end at all, but rather an opportunity for me to mix with like-minded folk and spend a couple of days chatting about yarn and crafting with yarn. What's not to love? As such you were, I met Helen in person before I'd been chatting away to her on Twitter or Ravelry for quite a while beforehand. And she's just so lovely to speak to. And she's so smiley and ever gives everybody, and she's so knowledgeable. So if you see her, go and talk to her. Question 7. You don't just stock yarn. Can you describe what else you have in your shop? And she said, well, she has the yarn pals and the shawl pins, which she doesn't have any just now, but she will get some soon. And they're made from a friend of hers in Darlington, Les Smith. His wife, Chris, owns a lovely yarn shop in Darlington called A Fine Yarn. And I just love the tactileness of Les's wooden objects. I like offering a platform to other skilled makers, and this gives my customers the opportunity to acquire a handmade object of beauty, which is terribly useful. The Swifts come from a husband and wife team called Sunflower Swifts. They are also handmade by them, and they're just so lovely, again, so tactile and useful. Now, I have got one of the shawl pins. I bought it when I was at the Glasgow Yarn Festival, and it has been much admired. So yes, a biggity big up, Les Smith. Mainly, where can listeners find you so they can buy all the yarn? That's why I asked, buy all the yarn. Question 8, she says, listeners can find me at www.ripplescrafts.com. I will also be at Woolfest for my 4th year this year, so come and find me there. If you live within driving distance of Inverness, I'll be at the Highland Wool and Textile Fair in Inverness in October. Now, you lovely listeners, do I have a treat for you? Well, actually, Helen has a treat for you. I'm just facilitating it. She has this beautiful colourway Ascent Hill tartan sock yarn to give away. This yarn comprises 75% wool and 25% nylon. I've taken this straight off her website. The nylon gives the yarn strength and it's ideal for socks, which you want to last. How true. Each hank of yarn weighs 100 grams and is approximately 420 metres in length. So, if you want to win it, please send me a message either on katenscraftcollective at gmail.com or on Ravelry, I'm Louise Hunt, and say who would you design a tartan for and what colours would you use? For instance, how's about I choose Barbie and I would have 5 colours of pink? I know, you're all screaming at me. No! But Barbie needs tartan too. However, I don't think actually Helen's going to do that one for you because there's not very many Barbies that run around the Ascent Hills. Generously, she has set up a coupon code and you like this. If you type in Louise, that's L-O-U-I-S-E, in her checkout on her www.ripplescrafts.com, once you have put in your lots and lots of yarn that you want to buy, before the 30th of June, she has 10% off the yarn range for you lovely listeners, and she ships overseas. So, no excuse. You too can have the pile of Ripplecraft yarn. I bought some from her off the internet. It came very fast. And I bought some for sending over to Treen. Hello, Treen. Over in Pacific Northwest. And I made my first Piper's Journey out of it. And the colourway was Ascent Rocks. And it was a kind of grey slate colour, which is very true of the rocks around there. So Helen has very kindly given us this interview, and just really, really nice lady and really nice business, and she loves where she lives. We hope you can go and buy. If not, knows, befriend and get to know Helen, as I have over the past few years. She's very generous in her knowledge and her love of things yarny. Go and read her blog. And that's exactly what you think the West Coast of Scotland looks like. It's stunning landscape. Thank you, Hayley. That was a really lovely interview. And everybody go find her at Woolfest.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, being with me for a while now and being with me forever, listeners. And bye-bye to those who are no longer listeners. I know you're not listening anymore, so into the distance you go. Because I was raking around on the boards trying to get a list of the whiskies that we've done. And I was sad because there were some people who I thought were still listeners and are not. But I'll not take offence. No, I won't, seriously, because I know I sometimes have a tidy up with things and yeah. But I was sad because I thought that they were still listeners. However, but I do appreciate the rest of you still tuning in. So I hope you're enjoying yourselves. And lovely Sandy, hello. New group members, PJS, Crafty Nelly and Three Trees. I've had some nice messages from you three. Random hellos to Ray Daryl, Muzzer Zed, AC Bonnie, Wurugi, Last Knit 2 and Catacat. See, do you know this bit? I try to keep it to 5, but it's just struggle because I just wanted to say hello to everybody. Because last episode I said hello to Tooth Fairy, who said she'd already crashed the train because she was on the train and she started laughing. And Acanthus, she just put a message up saying that she was in the airport. And Giffnet Girl was saying that she was laughing out loud and getting strange looks from people. So yes, my job is done. So the rest of you, here we go.
What's the crack,
Citrin? What's the crack? I have Natalie Servant news. I did a nice wee blather with Natalie last week and I asked her if she wanted to share anything. So she said this. Basically she is. She's heading out that afternoon to take pictures of her pear lash... Oh, I never practiced this before. Pear lashes shawl. Apologies for my pronunciation. It's going to be the subject of my annual Tour de France knit along, which is June the 29th to July the 21st. The inspiration came from a couple of gates in the Pere Lachaise Cemetery, which she visited last year whilst in Paris. There will be lots of yarn and pattern prizes, mostly for participants, but also for onlookers. She'll be blogging about the shawls, the inspiration pictures, her sketches and all the prize contest info for some time over the next 2 weeks. She'll put the pattern up for pre-sale mid-month at a discount and you'll only get the first few pages where everyone starts the Tour de France starts on June the 29th. More on that later. So, there we go, there's a few breadcrumbs for you. Go to www.natalieservant.ca/blog. For the latest crack on that. Obviously all these links are in the show notes, so don't fret if you haven't got a pen. And did you go and listen to the newest podcaster, Sheila, from Black Isle Crafts? And if you haven't as yet, go on, do it. You can download now whilst you're listening to me. She mentions the fact that Caithness Quilters were going to go down to the Highland Quilters group last Saturday. So, small world, eh? Also, Robin Ulrich has a lovely hat pattern out called Greyhaven, which has been inspired from The Lord of the Rings. And, of course, I love Lord of the Rings. And I love you, Robin Ulrich. So it's gorgeous. I've got to have a nose there. London calling. Yay. My summer holidays are fast approaching. As a family, we're flying down on the plane. We're not all getting our wings out. And we're going from Inverness to Gatwick to stay with Richard's Auntie Marion in Horley for a week. And I was thinking about having a wee meet up on the Sunday afternoon in London somewhere to be arranged. And if any of you South of England listeners would like to meet up, and it was really lovely to meet you last year, so I'd like to do that again. If you do, please get in touch with me by tweet, Ravelry or Facebook and email and I'll give you the dates. Our favourite group, the Carnivores, were on Radio Scotland's Vic Galloway show a couple of weeks ago. Funnily enough, the same night I recorded the last episode, I didn't realise until afterwards. And I missed it, and I wish I'd told you, but when Richard came home, we listened to it on iPlayer. So you can still get it on Radio iPlayer, and if you look up Vic Galloway, 27th of May, Carnivores episode, it's really good listening to it and hear more about them from them, and they play a good dollop of their songs live. Grant Rocks. That's one of the band members, by the way. Competition draw. Emily Wessel from Tin Cat Knits, last episode, offered a review copy of her new publication, Handmade in the UK. I asked you who was your favourite Scot. I blatantly stole this question from Paula of the Knitting Pipeline. Sorry, Paula, I love you. And I'm trying to think of something to placate her, but I can't, other than to say I'll send Daisy round if you don't forgive me. No, that's not going to work, is it? Moving on rapidly, the winner is DP Temple, whom I have messaged both you and Emily. So thank you all for participating, and sorry if you didn't win, but seeing who your favourite pattern was, which was Lush, the cardigan, seemed the most popular. The favourite Scot was, that was quite funny, nobody suggested Rod Stewart. I'm proud of you all for knowing that he's not Scottish. And DP Temple suggested Craig Ferguson, who is a great Scot, Marty. Although, apparently, he's changed to a USA citizen, but he was born here. Therefore, you can run, but you can't hide. So go find Handmade in the UK at Tin Can Knits on Ravelry or www.tincanknits.com. And I love doing that, so if any of you got a book out that you want me to review, I'd quite happily do that. It was lovely.
Coming up, it's there.
And coming up, we've not had one of these for a while. The Gaelic Wool Fest is coming up again in Benderloch near Oban again this year. It's Thursday the 18th to the 20th of July. And Woolfest is coming up rapidly, as mentioned by Ripples Craft, and it's Friday the 28th and Saturday the 29th of June at Mitchell's Lakeland Livestock Centre, Cockermouth in Cumbria. And everybody who's anybody is going. Therefore, I'm not everybody who's anybody. But really have a lovely time. I know that there's a couple of podcasters planning on going and stuff. And bye, bye, bye. And have a lovely time, because it's really good crack when you go to these things.
The swap section.
Swap. The Tea Cozy Swap is filling up, so if you still wish to participate, you've got until the 15th, and then after that, if you want to participate, you will have to wait till somebody else wants to participate with you, because, wait, just shove your name on anyway and see what happens. There's a thread on Ravelry, and if you want to join anyway, email me on kathinscraftcollective@gmail.com. This tea cosy can be made or bought in any medium, in something local to you, and a letter. Anything over and above that is up to you, but I do like to put a few extras in mine. And don't you just love it when you get yarn in the post? That's not a big hint, because I probably won't send yarn in the post, but something nice, you know.
The beaker section.
Me section. Right, because it's all about me. Get your own podcast. Oh, I got sent a lovely pin on Pinterest from Katrina Borg. And it made me laugh so much, I showed Richard. And it was a beaker hat from the Muppets. And I just thought, why she sent me that? But oh, it's from the Muppets. Oh, it's beaker! Me. Ha! That's how long it took me to get it. But it's really funny, and there's, yeah, go look. Right, in the Great Scottish Tapestry News, I had it home with me last week for 3 days, and my goodness, it stressed me out. I was seed stitching the desks, and it took me 7 hours. Never really looked like I did very much in the end. Again, we've got 2 weeks to go, and I'll tell it next episode if we finish it, because I don't think we will, because we've still got the side panels to do. I don't know. Nobody else seemed to be stressed about it, but I was. And I know that the thirtle panel is finished and they've taken on another panel, which is not actually have to be handed in by the 23rd. But they were much more relaxed than I was, so I got told to stop stressing. I didn't actually realise how stressed I was until I handed it over to Shirley, and then I just went, yeah. The blog will get updated with more photos very soon. Now, what else did I make? Right, still into the dragons. I finished the Dragonfly Shawl, which is a free pattern on Ravelry by Boo Knits, and I used a Fiver Spates Scrumptious 4-ply, which is 45% silk, 55% superwash merino, and it is dark purple. Beautiful dark purple. The pattern uses beads, and I put them on with a crochet hook in a size 0.75mm, and it is beady, beady small. Perfect for going through beats. There you go, your ears have popped again with me, because some of this is from last episode. Now, it was pretty easy to use, and in a case of have the right equipment kind of thing, and it goes lovely. But the stop and the start of it, the sitting with a packet of beads in your lap, can be a little bit off-putting. I had them in a wee sweetie plastic tub with Fender Care written on. Every time Daisy came near, I'd put the lid back on. And she did help putting them on the crochet hook and all over the garden, because we were outside. And then who dropped them? Thankfully inside. Yep, you're right, me. Give yourself a shiny. I used 3/4 of a wee packet of 3mm seed beads from Hobbycraft, which matched the yarn that the lovely Happy Lucky very kindly gifted me last year when I was in London's Nest shop. The shawl itself is a long, shallow shawl, one that you wrap around yourself a few times. It's quite easy to do. The stocking stitch main part is there, and there's a garter row every so often, and you increase in various places. The pattern is written with a sense of humour too, as she says, I put the beads here, here and here, but you put them where you want, and don't worry about it, that sort of wording. And I'm not sure if it's my choice of colour or size of bead, but I can hardly see mine. I'll have to stop random strangers in the street and say, look, 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 look at these. Anyway, I loved knitting with the fibre spades. It's got drape and it glistens, and it was soft, a nice saturated colour. The shawl itself is pretty with the lace, but the pattern is not very complicated and it's quite well written. There's a chart for the lace section, or its longhand, which is what I followed it. One thing that got me about the chart was that the left-hand part of the shawl was on the other side of the centre stitch, was below the right-hand section, which is, I think, the way I read. I had mine printed on smaller, like a booklet, trying to save paper, you know. But if you would want to print it out, think about how you want the chart to look. On an iPad, it would be really good, and I don't really knit using the iPad or the iPhone. I prefer paper that's always there, not in my husband's or child's lap playing little things or Twitter or whatever. And I was quite impressed it didn't take me too long to make either. And I just kind of clicked on how the shape is actually a dragonfly. It's wide at the top and skinny at the tail, sort of, if you squint. Anyway, it's Boo Knits Dragonfly Shawl, which is a free pattern on Ravelry, and I'd recommend it, and it would go wonderfully with my dragonfly brooch and my purple dress. And I saw dragonflies today, so it makes it extra cool. I've started cutting up the jelly roll I got for Christmas from mother-in-law to make what's called a raspberry ripple quilt from the book Jelly Roll and Charm Quilt by Pam and Nikki Lintott. Now, a jelly roll is a strip of fabric 2.5 inches by something, and it's often the last cut from a design collection such as Moda fabric. The book called for the jelly roll to have 40 strips, but my jelly roll had 30, so I had to cut 10 from a pack of fat quarters I bought from the local craft shop before it sadly closed. Wick High Street, so it's quite sad just now. I know things come in dips and swings and roundabouts, but I find it quite sad to see Wick at the low point of the swing. Well, the quilt is going to be a throw for my sitting room, and I've started cutting it. More on it next episode, but I think it's worth talking about the rotary cutter. I have two versions. One is a standard, I'm going to call that the Alpha, and the other one is the Omnigrid, which is a slightly posher version of it. You do get posh Alphas as well, but this is the one I've got. Now, generally, a rotary cutter looks like a pizza wheel, and it's used to cut material instead of using scissors or cutting pizza. They are incredibly sharp, and they're quite dangerous objects. If you felt like taking up the elegant art of quilting and patchwork, then bode this message in your head. Put the guard on the cutter each and every time you put it down. My Omnigrid posher version has the guard on it all the time, and it works by clicking the lock off or on. When you apply pressure to the handle, the blade pushes down on itself out to the guard. So once you've taken the pressure off, the blade goes back into the guard. My standard Alpha one, you flick the guard down and up manually. Now, I started with the posher one and I was used to it, and I was very mindful of the advice. But then one day, not so long ago, in a time not so far away, I was using the Alpha one and I didn't apply the guard. I put it on the table to move up some material or shift around the ruler. And then I took my hand back to pick up the rotary cutter and I literally touched the blade just very, very gently and it cut me. Not deeply, not dangerously, it's all healed up pretty quickly. This was a wee while ago now, but I was taken aback at how easily I was cut. And I'm glad I learned this lesson without losing any more of me. I'm quite attached to most of me, you know. Although, yeah, bit of my bum, I'd quite like happily if that disappeared. No, I don't think I'll be using a rotary cutter, that'll be quite sore. Don't use that. Granted, I was cutting cream material at the time. Oh yes, I was. So listen to me and listen to me good. Put the guard on. Put the guard on. Put the guard on. Be at one with the guard. I have to say it like that so you'll remember when you're doing it. Hear me going all buttery. After that, my choice of cutter is the OmniGrid one because it's got this safety bit on it. That is my rotary cutter and quilting news just now. I have, and back to knitting, I have cast on the colonnade pattern called Shayla, and it's a lacy vest top, or I like to call it a tank top. And I've got some Art Aran Weight yarn in a mint julep colour, which is sort of greens and blues. And it's 79% wool and 21% bamboo. And I'm using size 5mm needles. So 4 rows in and lovely wool. So more on that next episode. Drams. On to the drams this episode. After this is the Etsy shop segment. So if you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. And I'll catch up with you next episode. As there's only blah 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 stuff after it. If you're into the drinking and the shopping, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a 12-year-old Glenkinchie single malt whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello. Welcome into this episode edition of The Drams. This episode we're doing a 12-year-old Glenkinchie single malt whiskey.
Why are you holding the Dalwhinnie?
Because it was there.
It's empty.
No, there's a tiny little dribble in the bottom of it.
Throw nothing away. We did that a long time ago.
We did.
And tonight we're doing the Glenkinchie 12-year-old classic, the Edinburgh malt. And it's the last of the set of 4 miniatures that we got from our friend Willie at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not done bad, actually. It's June, so done pretty well with that.
Now, out of the 4 of them, we'd already done 3 of them, but...
Yes.
Or had we? We'd done 2.
Oh, well, there's a Dalwhinnie 15, the Singleton of Dufftown.
I like that one. Particularly.
Yeah, then the Talisker 10-year-old.
Uh-huh. And this is part taken from... Company of Friends. The Friends of the Classic Malts is a growing community of people who simply have an interest in single malt whiskey. It's completely free to join this group with over 200,000 members, and the list of benefits include welcome pack, malt whiskey handbook. Do you think we should get one of them?
No, I can't, I just want to drink it.
Free entry to 12 classic malt distilleries, Friends only limited edition whiskies and special offers, regular competition for prize money can't buy, invitation to malt whiskey events, frequent use from the worlds of classic malts. So if you want to join, go to www.malts.com and register online. Obviously, you must be of legal drinking age in your own country of residence and drinkaware.co.uk for the facts.
Do some research, bring me a scope proposal, and as this podcast is sponsored by Energy Hunt, I shall consider it as the person that writes the checks.
All right, okay. I'm ignoring that. And they've got, it's a funky little bottle you get this in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, right, why are we doing the Glenkinchie 12? Because
it's the last of the set of 4.
And where's it from?
Oh, it's from Edinburgh. Right, 20 miles to the east of Edinburgh in a wee place called Pencaitland, which I've never been to, I don't believe.
I have.
You have.
Yeah, we've got a tank. I say we. I'm sure there was a tank or some work done there when there was a East of Scotland Water.
Mm.
Way back when.
Way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenkinchie was the dram bought for me when I got speaking to some random bloke. I think his name is Brian. He was a retired solicitor from Edinburgh. And me and my mate, Graham, were sitting in a bar in Edinburgh called Doctor, celebrating our Well, we didn't know we'd passed in at the time, but celebrating our black belt grading for Kuksul, the martial art we do. And this old fella just came up and bought us a dram, just like that, out the blue. And we sat and chatted to him for quite some time, and you couldn't have met a nicer blokey, him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's a nice dram.
This is why you told the listeners this last week. If you missed the drams last episode, where were you? Or you're a new listener.
Are you saying I'm repeating myself?
I'm not saying that. I can neither confirm nor deny that fact. So the bottle? Explain, well, the bottle. We do the bottle first.
It's a little plastic number.
It's not very exciting, it's actual bottle, is it?
It's a little plastic miniature bottle. It's 5 centilitres, which is peedy. And it's 43% volume.
Drinkweird.com. There's not much information on the bottle, but it does have quite a nice classic-y looking label, which is cream, mm-hmm. and it's got black writing and a bit of gold on it.
Old school. And I did look up very briefly. I couldn't find very much out about the Glenkinchie Distillery. Well, you found out more just by looking at the box. But I did note that it is the only distillery with its own bowling green.
Cool. That's lawn bowls.
That's lawn bowls.
Yeah.
Which is a good fun game.
It is. Yeah. I've never played it, so I don't know. I'm sure it's the summer version of curling, and I like curling.
You have to wait until you're 40 till you can play it, probably. And appreciate it in your whites.
I'm going to say do the cork, dear, but...
I'll unscrew the... What? For a PDB bottle, it's got quite some distinct unscrewing of the...
Top. It's quite a nice noise, that, when you know that you've got drink coming in the other end of it.
I'll give you the larger one, because I've had it before.
Okay. What? Right. You drink every single last drip out of that bottle.
If you give me the dribble that's in the Dalwhinnie, I make my new blend.
Okay, right. So...
Colour
is quite light, clear. Although it looks lighter in the bottle than it does in my glass. What colour is that, Richard?
I would say a dirty Winnie the Pooh. A dirty Winnie the Pooh has been playing in the mud and hasn't fully brushed himself off.
I reckon Winnie the Pooh, after he played Pooh Sticks and fell in.
Then he'd be clean.
No, he fell into the mud part.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A Winnie the Pooh wallowed in mud.
Take a smell.
Smell. Ooh. Whiskey. I'm getting whiskey.
Oh, you're not getting the... I just closed my eyes and just walked through a meadow of flowers.
With whiskey in it.
Beside the distillery. No, it's lovely. A wee bit of vanilla.
It's nice.
I think it's a lovely, lovely, subtle, very subtle, not overpowering odour to it.
Okay, then I would say that then it wouldn't be a peated mug.
Oh, definitely not.
Now, I had an email message from Shorty Sutures, or Kelly of Shorty Sutures fame. She lives in Texas.
Oh, aye. I've been to Texas.
Her husband and her had been given a bottle of Lefroy and they didn't like it.
That is very Marmite.
It's a very Marmite dram, that one, isn't it?
It's very, very, very strong flavoured.
Would not suggest that be a dram to choose to see whether or not you like whiskey or not.
Oh, no, definitely not.
No.
Definitely not.
I like it, but a lot of people don't. It's Marmite. However, because it is
it's an acquired taste.
It's very, very peated, so that's one end of the spectrum. But she then said that she went off and they managed to get a Macallan, which is what James Bond drinks.
Nice.
And they discovered that they quite liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put more water into the Lefroy.
That's just like the old Pulteney
Isabella
Fortuna, that to drink it with just a wee drop of water in it, or no water. I found it too harsh. But I put a good skill, much more than I'd usually put in. I found it quite nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to make sure that it was a good scoop of water in it to tone it down a bit.
So it kind of shows you as well, because normally you just put a little drop of water in.
Mm-hmm.
So it does show you that's where... Where's the water?
Well, I'm assuming that's what the water was.
I didn't put any water on the table.
I put... Yep, that's water.
One, I'm trying to think how I'm going to edit that so I can keep it in. And two...
It's a visual thing.
Sorry, Kelly, I'm really off track.
Bleach!
Richard's... He laid everything out for the drafts and everything's sitting there quite nice. And I looked over and I thought, where's the little jug for the water? Tonight he's got a mug of water. A mug. We don't have any jugs in this house.
Yeah, there's loads, but this is at hand.
Okay, anyway.
Right.
Choose what you want, listeners. Kelly has, and her husband have discovered that they do indeed like whiskey and they're away off to taste other ones. And I said, if she quite likes the unpeatedness, she should look for Speyside or unpeated on the label. Because they mm-hmm. do, they're quite labelled. Anyway, this little tasting notes leaflet that you got with this company of friends thing, it's really good because it's got a smoky, it's like a little chart of which ones that you could try for what you like, which I would recommend for the likes of you that are trying out the drams. So one end we've got the Knock and Do 12-year-old for Delicate, and up to the smoky Kyle Isla 12-year-old or Lagavulin 16-year-old. One side, the rich, is a Craganmore, and a light one would be a Glenkinchie. So this is a light and delicate one. So it's
it
got,
smells light and delicate.
It's quite a lot of different malts in that.
Do
I really
want a drop of water in there?
I would love a drop of water.
What?
Yeah, that'll do. Considering there's only 5 millimetres in it. Probably more water in that now. So Slangeva.
Slangeva.
Oh yes, lots of flavour. I'm getting gorse bushes. I've never got anything like that before with listeners. Normally I just go whiskey. I am getting gorse bushes like the ones I was running through today at the forest, and I was like, this is nice. There's butterflies, there's
flies, like cocoa butter,
cocoa butter, which is the yellow gorse or broom. Flowery, as in plant flowers, not as in I'm going to bake you a cake flower. What do you think?
I think it's lovely. I'm getting all that. I got it from the smell and I'm getting the... I've not got it's the lemon cheesecake though.
Does it say lemon cheesecake in
yeah,
it?
Aye. But then we had lemon cheesecake for our Sunday dinner pudding.
Yeah.
But it's very nice. And I don't like that with a lot of the water actually. Just a little smidgen.
Well, it showed me as well last episode then that possibly if you find your dram quite harsh at start, add a drop more water or an ice cube even.
Aye.
And then see how you get on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a little bit of smoke at the end of that. And I know...
No smoke. I'm not getting that.
I am. I'm not supposed to, but I do.
But you get what you like. It's all personal taste, isn't it?
So, see why you like that. I see why I was buying it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have that again.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you having for your dram this episode?
Well, I know you've told me not to be controversial, and there's no politics or religion or anything in the podcast, but I'd like to have Alex Salmonova.
Tell the listeners who Alex Salmond is properly, for those who...
Constructively.
Kind of think of his big smarmy face.
Properly and constructively. he's the wee chappy, and he is wee. He wears high heels, apparently. Well, no, not apparently, because I've seen him wearing them. Who is the elected First Minister of Scotland for the Scottish Parliament. Now, he wants to have an independent Scotland away from the Union of the United Kingdom. And they are having a vote in about a year's time, next September, in 2014. And the reason I want to have him here is because whatever way it goes, and I have my own thoughts and personal opinions, but whatever way it goes, there's going to be massive implications to my life, my heritage, my status, all sorts of things. I'd just like to look him in the eye and find out what he's all about. Is he sincere? Is he not sincere? Is he about the ego? Is he not? Is he doing it for the right reasons or for himself? I'd just like to find out and cut out all the nonsense that you're hearing on the telly and all the media and just try and find out firsthand.
I have to say that I'm quite disappointed in a lot of the people of Scotland just now, because the independence referendum next year has unleashed a can of worms and a can of not very pleasant behaviour, and it's towards people that won't give their opinion one way or the other. For instance, Susan Calman was absolutely and utter vilified on Twitter and mm-hmm. Facebook because she didn't give her opinion. She was just being satirical about the whole thing. And she was gone for. It was trolls and it was really nasty what went for
it. Yeah, vindictive and nasty.
Vindictive and nasty. And there's no requirement for it. We are all entitled to our own opinions. And we all have to, as adults, because we are adult, if we can vote, appreciate and understand. And the fact that we can vote is brilliant. And we should vote because we've got to this point in our lives where women and men have the same, the right to vote. And we should vote because of the journey that has that we have got to. And some countries, women or men don't have the right to vote.
Still making that journey, yeah.
So I will not be giving my opinion one way or the other, neither will you on the podcast, because
nope,
I'll
right.
Let it out, because I'm not going to be telling you... Well, because...
You're not going to bias your opinion on...
I'm going to be Switzerland and neutral in, on the podcast. I am not going to tell you one way or the other what I my opinion is, because it's not about that. It's about knitting and whiskey.
Sorry. I've taken it to a serious level and it should be fun.
Yeah, have.
We have whiskey. Yeah. We have whiskey and we'll enjoy it until such time as we're not allowed to enjoy it. Who are you going to have on your podcast raising the tone as much
as
possible?
Well, I'm afraid I'm actually going to somber the tone because a great author died today.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was announced he died today. So I'm going to raise this glass to Ian Banks.
Ian Banks.
Who was a wonderful author, and he wrote some of the books that we've got upstairs.
Read them when I was very young.
Yeah, and he sadly lost his life to cancer today. Ian Banks, Away the Crow Road.
Complicity, The Wasp Factory.
See, now, The Wasp Factory, I stopped reading that when he got the hamsters out. For you, I'm not spoiling the book, but those who've read it will understand.
He's out there. He's very out there.
But he was a great ambassador of literature in Scotland. He's got an absolutely amazing back catalogue of books that we can all read.
And he's done a great book on whiskey tasting, where did I get that from? I got it out of the blue. No, I gave it to Bjorn.
Oh, right.
I got it out of the blue. I think I got it out of a charity shop or something. Mm. I bought a book about whiskey tasting years, that was years ago. And I read it, and it was fantastic. He he got paid to basically drive around for a year or 2 years tasting whiskey.
Fantastic.
I know. And then he wrote this really quite witty, humour, colourful book about going around all the distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite sarcastic and quite cutting. It was great. It was fantastic. It was right up my street.
So he was into the dram, so I thought it was quite appropriate. And he was very much admired by his contemporaries. And when he announced that he had this cancer, and he had been told that he's only got a short diagnosis, which quite took everybody by shock. And the outpouring of respect and love and admiration for him was quite humbling. And what I liked the fact about it was he then could read all this stuff before he... And he would take comfort for it in his last days.
And he asked his long-term partner to become his widow.
Yes.
Which I thought was quite amusing, but also quite gallows humour.
Yeah. But I like the fact that when somebody... Well, he knew that he was loved. And how often do we turn around and say, oh, so-and-so died. Oh, I loved him. And do we tell them before they die? And you know that I've tried to get the right words to say to people that I admire as well, before, you never know, you may get hit by a bus tomorrow sort of thing. And we don't spread the love as much as we spread the condemnation. So here's to spreading the love. It's a lovely dram. So here's to Ian. May he be up at Crow Road.
Aye, he's away to Crow Road.
Aye.
Slangeva. Oikiva.
It's a slightly more serious than normal dram. Now, I stand by the fact I'm not going to go into the independent referendum other than say, use your right to vote. So we found an app to go with the Friends of Classic Malts by Diageo, and it's free, and it's called Malt Matcher. It's pretty good. Granted, it's only Diageo-owned brands, but it's only fair to them, I suppose, so it's good marketing. And it's not going to give you a complete view of Scottish whisky, but it's a good start. Especially for Shorty Sutcher's questions of, I quite like this, what else do you recommend? And I can never remember what you say when I'm at the shop. You can have it on your phone. Hopefully you Androidies types, you can have something as well. But I never thought that we'd have something about whiskey on the apps. Never occurred to me. It's not to say it shouldn't be there. It just never occurred to me it would be there. We'll have a wee rake around and see if we can find some more out. And like I say, it'll help you when you're in the whisky aisle and you can't remember anything other than I said, Old Pulteney 12, Highland Park 12, or Monkey Shoulder. Here, I can't even remember anymore. It's me that did them. Speaking of shops.
Shoppy section.
Shoppy section. The Etsy shop is open. Please go and look at www.etsy.com/shop/ Cadence Craft. Actually, if you want something and you don't have an Etsy account nor want one, just email me and I accept PayPal. So you don't need an account as long as you've got a PayPal account. I think I've scared you off with my film opening advert last episode. That was actually me, it wasn't Richard. But I had lowered my voice into a lower key.
I tend to record this in a higher key, so I sound like Minnie Mouse.
But I've had my first transaction of two bookmarks. So thank you, you lovely listener. Albeit, I reckon she did it a pity. That's been it. Inserts awkward silence. Yeah. So either my marketing is not right, my products aren't right, or in price, or just nobody wants to pay for them just now. I'll have to leave taking over the world for a few months then. Och well. Richard says don't give up. The price of them, I would say, is undercharging. Postage may be the killer, but I didn't push them too much on Twitter because I don't really like it when other people constantly list their stuff on Twitter that they have for sale on Etsy, because I don't follow shops. But what I have is bookmarks, and I've got them at £2 a bookmark plus postage of £1.50, which I'd say is pretty reasonable for a handmade unique bookmark. And if you want a Scotty dog, I'm more than happy to whip up a couple of Scotty dogs because they seem to be a good idea. And the handmade envelopes and stationery sets are up for £5 for 5 envelopes and hand-stamped notelets along with white address labels. The miniature bottles of whiskey are full of seashells, one grotty boggy each, and a couple of tiny pebbles and some sea glass. And it's the Scapa whiskey that I tasted on the drams when Paula was here. There's a Singleton and a Talisker. And I have a Dalwhinnie that I can fill up as well. They're £10 plus postage. It's just a little bit more because it took me quite a while to find the little shells that are small enough and cute enough to fit into the bottle. Now, what I can do also is send the purchases using the empty whiskey boxes that we've been talking about in the drama section. These will increase the postage cost due to them being bigger size than the Royal Mail likes you to send. But they are very cool. The tins are excellent for putting in things of knitting needles or crochet hooks. And then, got written, seems last episode. But they make you look like you are the druth that I actually am. But you don't like whiskey. And you want the box. I can help you out with that. It's basically you're paying for the postage of them rather than something for the box. So the shop's been updated. I suppose I'd like your feedback because obviously, if nothing's selling, there's something not quite right. Is it just hang on and see, or do I have to do some more marketing in a different area? It's open. Go look. You never know. You might see something you like.
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, section. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me. My email is keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I am on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, and Twitter, and Pinterest, and Facebook as Caithness Craft. You can access my Flickr pictures from LouiseJ2010 and Instagram as Caithness Craft. And the Podbean site is www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The music was from Mark Gunn, Wild Mountain Time, and you can buy this at www.musicalley.com. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.
I will build my love a bower, my unclear and crystal fountain, and all around the bower I'll pile flowers from the mountain. Will he go as he go? And we'll all go together to Powild Mountain Time, all around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? Oh. I will roam the country o'er, through that dark land so dreary, and all the spoils I find I'll bring to my darling dearie. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? My true love, she won't come, I will surely find another to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will ye go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? Oh, the summertime is coming, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go? And we'll all go together to pull wild mountain time all around. Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go, lassie, go? Will you go?